Good morning. As we begin, let's read just a couple passages out of Hebrews. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, starting at 19 and reading through 25. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Another passage in Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Lord, we just bless you this morning. We thank you for time together today to remember you, to come to your table with the saints, and we just bless you today. We pray you would grant us just a little open heaven here today that we might fellowship in your word and just see something here that you have for us today. In Jesus' name. Well, there was a passage, thought included in both of those passages, and it's about encouraging one another. Encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing nigh. And that's what we want to talk about, encouraging one another. First of all, I'd like to ask a question. How many of here are Christians? How many have been born again? Good. If you haven't been born again, if you don't know what we're talking about, today's the day you need to grab somebody that raised their hand and talk to them and find out just what this is we're talking about. But to those that did raise their hand and are born again, do you know that you really have been born again? That your life is totally changed? It's on a new plane? It's no longer just a man or woman who's been forgiven of their sins, but we are new creatures in Christ. If we're new creatures in Christ, the Lord has something for us. He has a path. He has a progress, a maturing. And I just want to look at trace a couple of thoughts of that through our New Testament. What did John say to Nicodemus? And what did Jesus say to him? What did John report that Jesus said? You must be born again. You must be born again. And Peter said that he praised the Lord because through Jesus Christ, the Father has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And Paul said in Romans 8, for those called according to purpose, they are to be conformed to the image of his Son, called to sonship. He wants us to be born again. Paul sees we've been born again. Paul says, giving that we're born again, we're to come into sonship. God has something for us. Paul said there, we heard this last summer and we've been hearing it lately, that he considered he was in a race, pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For me, maybe for others, I've heard lately more and more the Lord's call for a bride who's made herself ready. He's calling us to be prepared for his return. And those first chapters of Revelation talk all about an overcomer. Even though things are tough, we're called to be an overcomer. So we see that there's a progress, there's a calling, there's a maturing that the Lord has called us into, but days of great pressure are upon the Lord's people. The world is crumbling, and I think we can find it easy to give up and throw in the towel. But I want to say it. I believe the Lord has a word for us today. Be encouraged. We need to encourage one another while it's still called today. If you look at that Hebrews 10 passage, there's a little outline. 3 points I think we can make out of that passage. First one is encourage ourselves. Maybe you could look at Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Encourage ourselves. Second point is encourage each other. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. And then finally, encourage each other in assembling. Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling together, our own assembling together. You know, I don't want to be Dr. Doom, but it is an evil day. It is easy to get discouraged. We can, when we see the environment, when we might be tempted to look at ourselves and our own circumstances, certainly, morally and spiritually, this world is on a downturn. And we hear about it and we feel it. We feel it in the air. The kings of this earth have taken their stand against the Lord and against His anointed. Read Psalm 2. We prayed that back Wednesday night. It came on one of the men that was with us, and we really prayed back Psalm 2. So I think we need to remember our calling. We need to remember the hour we're in, and we need to provoke ourselves, encourage ourselves. In encouraging ourselves, I thought we might just look a little bit at what David did. David was one that often found himself in discouraging situations. Let's just look a little bit at what the principles of David's life. Let's read a 6-verse passage out of 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 to 6. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. That's a tough passage. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. David strengthened himself. I think a real possible interpretation of strengthening is he encouraged himself. So let's look here for a minute and just look at a few things in the Psalms that were left from David. What did David do? How did he strengthen himself? And let's turn to the Psalms. Let's look David's wonderful ongoing dialogue with the Lord left for us in the Psalms is really good. If you're discouraged, just read the Psalms. Let's read Psalm 32. Did I say that yet? No. 32, 3 to 5. Remember, David was in a mess, a real mess. How could it be compared to the things we find ourselves in? But he strengthened himself in the Lord. So the first 32, 3 to 5. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Selah. David encouraged himself by confessing his sin. We need to keep short accounts with the Lord. We come every Sunday, we remember the Lord, his sacrifice, the blood. We need to remember it every day. And just keep short accounts. Not let anything build up in our lives, but confess it and go on. And we need to believe that the Lord has forgiven us. I think often we think so much of ourselves that we think, he can't forgive me. That's self-centered. He can. He has forgiven you. But confess it and move on. It's a great, great way to strengthen ourselves. Okay, let's lead. The next thing David did is he worshiped the Lord. We'll just look a little bit right on probably the same page in my Bible. Psalm 33, 1 to 5. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. So in strengthening ourselves, think about worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord, and first, think about worshiping the Lord daily. Just as we keep short accounts in confessing our sins, worship the Lord. Worshiping the Lord is a powerful, powerful spiritual tool. It gets our eyes off ourselves, it gets our eyes on the Lord, it honors him, and it kind of gets things in right perspective. So David, we're blessed to come together on Sunday. And that Sunday worship, that Sunday remembering should be an overflow of the dealings we've had during the week. Anyway, David strengthened himself in worship. Look at Psalm 31, 23 and 24. O love the Lord, all ye his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Be strong and let your heart. He spoke to himself. He reminded himself. He spoke to his soul, said, be strong and let your heart take courage, all ye who hope in the Lord. Don't let yourself get down, 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 down. Remember the Lord. In prayer, the final thing that we know David did was prayed. All these psalms are really his prayers, aren't they? They reflect his communion, his communication, his talking to the Lord. So we need to be people that that pray, that commune and fellowship with the Lord. So we saw these things David did. He acknowledged his sin. He received the Lord's forgiveness. He was able to break through and worship the Lord. He was able to recognize that he was in a low place and engage his faculties and speak to his soul. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all ye who hope in the Lord. And he prayed. You know, that principle of remembering the Lord and strengthening ourselves, if you remember Paul in Philippians, in 2 Timothy, I think a great passage that he encouraged Timothy. He said, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. So even we carry that whole same principle over into the New Testament. So all these things that we have recorded that David wrote were written in the Word of God. They were left for us. We now have the Word of God. So So the other thing we do when we strengthen ourselves is to be in the Word, to commune with the Lord through His Word, to read it, to think about it, to meditate on it. You know, I'm talking about individual, but to fellowship on it. You know, that's why our Friday night times are so awesome and powerful. We fellowship in the Word. But let's read Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So, the things that David went through, the things that were written for our encouragement of the Scriptures, that we might have hope. So, if we're down, we need to just chew on the Word, to be in the Word, and it provokes us to remember the Lord. And it's not a black and white book. There's a couple principles I want to mention as we read, as we meditate on the Lord. Hebrews 4, you can just write, you don't have to turn to all these, but we're familiar with Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. The Word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. We need the Lord to speak to us through the Word, living and active and able to divide soul and spirit. You know, just put our soul and our spirit aside that we might become strong in spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:6. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. No? Where is that? Did I write it down wrong? The letter kills, wherever it is. Where the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So as we come to the Word, We come for life. We don't come for the letter of the law. The Lord will speak to us. We need to know the Word, but He'll certainly speak to us through the Word. Okay, now I know this one is right. John 5:39. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. The Lord is life. The Lord is living Word. So as we read the Word and we come to Him, don't let it be a dry thing. Take time and fellowship and commune on it. It's to be a spiritual exercise and not a mental activity. So anyway, let's summarize. How do we encourage ourselves? Confess our sins, receive God's forgiveness, and keep short accounts. I just can't tell you how powerful a thing that is. I think we even get stuck in we carry things and we hold them in the back of our minds and we're not willing to deal with them. We keep the air clear and go on. We worship the Lord. We worship in spirit. A heart of worship is a powerful thing. We speak to ourselves. We remind ourselves and remember the Lord. We avail ourselves of the Word of God. It's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And finally, in prayer. Okay, the next, the second point was encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25. You know, this passage, Hebrews 10:19, talks about entering in by the blood of Jesus. We think about that passage, I think, pretty often when we come to the table. But it concludes here at 10:25, the thought concludes here, encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing nigh. We're living at the last of the last days, and times are difficult. We need to encourage one another. I think the closer we get to the end, there's more resistance. There's just a real warfare over the Lord's people and his life being expressed. And the kind of encouragement I think we need to give each other is to draw one another to the Lord, to point each other to the Lord himself. I think to come up with a short-term idea or a way to fix things or fix each other is short-term, and ultimately it'll break down. Brother that I was close to for so many years has been promoted. Always said this little thing. He said, no pat answers. No pat answers. Don't have a formula that we give one another, but we are constrained to bring one another to the Lord. I think the short-term answer, excuse me, for a number of years, I work for a pretty big company here in town. Last 10 years I worked for it, it was becoming increasingly difficult. Things were beginning to come apart a bit. And my boss that I had for a number of years says, always would tell me, don't worry about it. We're going to get through this. We always get through this. And if anybody's been following the news, we got through it all right. The company's bankrupt, and it was traded as a penny stock until last week. And a couple times a week, I'd go out to the Yahoo website and just see if there are any news articles or anything. Well, last week, it went from 4 cents to 3 cents to 2 cents. And for a day, it went to 1 cent. And what happened the next day? Gone. Just disappeared. So be encouraged. Everything's going to be okay. We need to bring the Lord because, honestly, we need to see eternity in view. Everything is going to be okay spiritually in the heavenlies. And when we encourage one another, I think there's a real emphasis in this day, even in the Christian circles, to, excuse me, but the prosperity gospel and so forth, to emphasize that things are going to be okay and we're just going to supposed to have this blessed life. And that may be true. That God may bless us, but he may not. And our attention and our affection and our longing is for eternity. It's not for just short-term things. So if we can help each other, that's fine. But let's do it with eternity in view. This coming alongside, this encouraging, is paracleo. And I think most of us know what that word is. When we come alongside, it's paraclete. In John 14, it said, I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. The Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we need to bring to one another for encouragement. The life of Christ in each one of us. We encourage each other in spirit. Vine says that we come, paracleo is by the side, and to call to one side, hence aid, used for every kind of calling to a person which is meant to produce a particular effect, comfort, exhort, desire. A calling to one side, an aid, an encouragement, consolation, comfort. So we are called to comfort one another. We need to be careful we don't neglect one another. We don't see someone stumbling and just ignore them, but by the grace of God, come alongside. Not as someone who has the answers, but someone who has the Holy Spirit to encourage each other. Is encouraging each other a special gift? Think that's a gift? Maybe it can be a gift. Exhorting can be a gift, but I think encouraging cannot be limited to special few. I think every one of us needs to think, how can we encourage one another? How can we draw one another along, you know? In a long race, how do you encourage each other? You're in the race. We come along as sojourners. We're all in the same race. You just run with each other. Knowing someone's continuing to run is a great encouragement. You know, a marathon's 26 miles, and if when you hit the wall, I think a lot of us are close to the wall with the last 6 miles, you want to give up. But if Glenn's beside me and he's saying, well, we can keep going. I mean, there's an encouragement to being together and encouraging each other in the race. Encourage each other day after day, as long as it's still called today. And, you know, we talked about the Word of God, and I think when we encourage each other, it needs to be based on the Bible. It needs to be based on truth. We can find so much mixture and encouragement, but this is a book, a complete encouragement. We have to find our encouragement here. So when we come alongside each other, let's bring it with the Word of God. The Word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. So we bring the life of Christ into the situation. Let's look at, I think I got this one right, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5. Maybe that's where I got stuck before. Now, this is a verse, a passage that maybe I can see a little more application and truth to the older I get, but let's just read that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. So sometimes we think, I'm going through something. This is terrible. I can't stand it. But, you know, principle, we've read Paul Bilheimer's book, Don't Waste Our Sorrows. Don't waste your sorrows. Often the dealings of the Lord bring gold into our lives, and we are able, by the grace of God, having been dealt with, to encourage one another and how the Lord has met us. So don't despise the day of small things, and don't despise God's dealings. Perspective and encouraging each other, just a thought here. We need to encourage each other with eternity in view. We often think of, we see just the day to day, and we definitely need help day by day, but ultimately we need to see that our training, our trials, our daily dealings are for building us up, for bringing, working gold into our lives, for training for eternity. And I think that's a good thing to encourage one another with. This earth is not our home. I think we sang it today. The grave is not our goal. As a matter of fact, turn to 1 Corinthians 15:19. Paul says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You know, it's our tendency to think if we can just get through, we can get through this week, we can get through till we can retire. If we can get through something, we're going to be okay. But we've got eternity in view. If we have hoped in this life, our hope is in eternity. Our hope is in our eternal vocation. And we need to remember, we need to remind each other of that and encourage each other. Right? The third point I wanted to share was encourage each other in assembling. You know, we encourage each other as we gather together. First of all, I think as we gather together, we are, the Lord is greatly encouraged. And if He's encouraged, if He's lifted up, if He's exalted, how can we not be but encouraged? So, we really answer to something in the Lord's heart. As we gather together, we are doing something that new life has birthed into us. We are functioning in the way that we've been created spiritually. And when I talk about assembling together, I think we need to get away from thinking, I don't know how to explain this. It's just not just a meeting. It's not just some type of club. You know, when I was a child, I got Sunday school pins. How many people got Sunday school pins? You got, well, actually, we got a circle, and then if after a while you got a wreath that went around it, and then if you kept on going, you got bars that hung under it. I mean, we had a lot of Sunday school pins. That was probably all in good faith, trying to encourage people to be together. But I think instead of meeting, I want to call it, we're assembled together. It's way beyond just a meeting. It's drawn. It's ecclesia. The called out ones assemble together. If we, in fact, are born again, everybody here pretty much said they were born again. There's a new spirit, a spirit life in us that longs to be together with the saints. And I believe part of the calling, part of the Word of God, part of His plan for us is that we be part of a local assembly. I'd just like to read a couple, paraphrase a couple thoughts on assembling together. One of them is by C.H. McIntosh, a little booklet called The Assembly of God. Many of us have seen that, but he says, there is an assembly of God on earth. There is an assembly of God on earth. That assembly is gathered by God, the Holy Ghost, round the person of God, the Son, to worship and fellowship with God, the Father. The world know it not. There is an assembly. God has called His people into the assembly. And, you know, I've thought often about the New Testament. It just tells us it's full of the assembly of God. McIntosh talked about the progressive revelation of the assembly of God. He says, the Gospels prophetically intimate the assembly. Of course, there in Matthew, it's a little more than intimate. I will build my church. You know, in John 17, he says, that you all might be one. It's a real strong leading that way. In Acts, the book of Acts historically presents the assembly. Epistles formally address the assembly. And if we know the first part of Revelation there, to the seven churches are addressed. And I just wonder if the times we're in don't take assembling together. I'm not talking about going to church or going to meetings. I really think we need to think another way, assembling together. God has called us. I wonder if we don't think this is outdated or this is some kind of emphasis that we've picked up and overemphasized. I don't think so. I really don't think so. McIntosh obviously thought assembling was very important. I want to talk about another saint that's gone before. Gives us some thoughts about the importance of assembling. And that would be John Wesley. You know, I think we get tempted to think, well, Methodists, you know, Methodists are just, they kind of got off and they got formalized and organized and humanized and so forth. But John Wesley really was used of God to bring people back, to bring him back to the true gospel and the church. And some of his sermons are online, and these thoughts come from something called, his sermon called The Means of Grace. He had a series of sermons called The Means of Grace. He says that Christ had ordained certain outward means for conveying His grace into the souls of men. Their constant practice set this beyond all dispute. For so long as all that believed were together and had all things in common, they continued steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Further on in that message, he says, he talks about the things that we should avail ourselves of as Christians. He says, the chief of these means are prayer, whether in secret or with the great congregation, searching the Scriptures, which implies reading, hearing, and meditating thereon, and receiving the Lord's Supper, eating bread and drinking wine in remembrance of Him. And these we believe to be ordained of God as the ordinary channels of conveying His grace to the souls of men. If you're discouraged, if you're down and out, and you're not assembling together in these ways, you're missing a great way that God has given us, a great means of grace. So as far as assembling, what I hear Wesley saying here, prayer in secret or in the great congregation. He believed there was a place for corporate prayer, for praying together. Scripture, reading, hearing, or meditation. Hearing, teaching. You know, teaching on Sunday, teaching Friday night fellowship times. We're fellowshipping in the Word. We're hearing the Word. And the Lord's Supper, remembering the Lord. So we see that the Lord has given us these things with purpose for our encouragement. And these are assembling together to pray, to receive teaching, and greatest of all, to remember the Lord. I believe there are tons of reasons for us to forsake the assembling together. And I believe that when we stop meeting together, it's often justified in our hearts. Often when we're discouraged, when we're down, one of the first things to go is meeting together. We need time to be to ourselves, we need to protect ourselves, we need to rest. It goes on and on. And I think it's self-defeating to stay away from the Lord's people. It's honestly one of the worst things we can do. Can there be anything more encouraging than to be together at the Lord's table and remembering Him, to feed our spirits, to be strengthened? If you really feel like you can only come and assemble one time in a week, come to the Lord's table and be prepared. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Great encouragement to be together and encourage each other in the Lord. Let me just conclude. Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more as you see the day drawing near. More than ever, we need to be together to encourage one another. We need to encourage each other. Be looking out for one another. Be looking for times to spend time with one another. Encourage one another. So that, how do we become encouraged? How do we encourage? We need to remember that we're born again, that we're called with purpose, that purpose is resisted greatly in this last of the last days. The enemy and our natural tendencies would be nothing more than to take us away, to discourage us. But we need to stay in the race and not give up. And we need to encourage ourselves. Remember David encouraging himself. We need to encourage one another. Look out for one another, encourage each other. And finally, we need to encourage one another, encourage ourselves by assembling together, not forsaking our assembling together. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this exhortation to encourage one another. We pray that you would grant us grace not to be discouraged with ourselves, to be discouraged with one another, but to stay strong in the Lord, encourage ourselves daily, day by day. Lord, we pray that you would grant us grace to encourage one another, to see how we can encourage each other. And we pray for your will to be done in our assembling together, to exalt you and to meet you in the assembly. We just commit this all back to you in Jesus' name.